Inside, however, was another matter. The ville was well ordered and clean. As they were taken through the streets, the companions noticed that the buildings and streets were well maintained. The frontages had all been painted white with red trim, and there were white walls filled with red pictograms. The lack of any other color was noticeable. In other villes, even those that were well maintained, there were vestiges of other colors, either from decoration or merely from the materials used to make the ville. But here it seemed as though every other color had been carefully and deliberately expunged, replaced with the white and red that dominated. The streets were sparsely populated, suggesting that few were able to make an effective escape from the parent ville of Atlantis, and that the Nightcrawlers had been successful in snatching back some of those who were careless once free. Doc looked to Affinity as they walked through the streets.
This is an interesting place, dear sir. You seem to be extremely keen, as a people, on the idea of everything being red and white.
Those are the only things we know. It is all we have been taught since first we were born, so it was only natural that we should wish to extend the motif once we found a place of our own.
Is that so?
In Doc's mind, he had reached a few conclusions of his own as to the meaning of the color scheme, tying up a few loose ends from the information he had elicited. There was purpose to this, and he was certain that silence on his part right now would allow more information to drop with more ease than if he were to press matters. By this time, they had reached the center of the ville, and as they approached an old shop front that had been carefully bricked over to turn it into a dwelling, a man and a woman came out to greet them. They were a little older than the rest of the ville, and this seniority was confirmed by the deference shown to them by the sect party and Affinity.
These are the people we thought were the Nightcrawlers?
The man had tightly cropped, curly black hair, with a beard as neatly trimmed. He was short and stocky, but the way in which he held himself made him appear taller. The woman with him had long auburn hair tied back simply from a narrow-faced, almost milk-white pale skin. Her eyes were focused on the companions, and she had a gaze that suggested intensity of purpose. Together, they seemed a formidable team.
That they are. They say that they will help us.
I said that we'd hear what you had to say. We have no fight with anyone unless they want it.
Brian eyed Mark, just to make sure that the sect chief, who shot him a glance, got the message.
That seems fair. Come, break bread with us, and I will tell you about our ville.
Well, we've already heard something about who you are, but we won't turn down a meal.
Ryan wanted to know more about these people. If he was headed for the coast, and the Ville of Atlantis had sec men who would make this simple objective difficult, he wanted to know their strengths and weaknesses. The inhabitants of Memphis could tell him this. It would also give his people a chance to rest up, clean up, and eat something a little better than the self-heats to which they were now reduced. A few hours later, the companions found themselves in the building's dining room. It was painted in red and white throughout, with white sculptures as decoration on simple wooden tables that had, like the chairs, been stripped down to the natural grain after being carved. They were made of a variety of woods, which suggested that these people were adept at adjusting to their surroundings. Despite his position as what appeared to pass for baron in Memphis, their host helped in the preparation and serving of the meal, and those who would in other circumstances be servants sat at table and ate with them. The food was simple, meats and vegetables pan-cooked in spices, with fruits preserved in spirit for dessert. They were given a choice of water or a thick sweet wine to drink. Despite the fact that they lived in perpetual struggle, they were obviously able to farm to a certain degree, an impression reinforced when their host told them that he couldn't remember the last time an enterprising trade convoy had tried to make it through their territory. When the meal was finished, their host asked them how they came to be in the territory. Ryan told him what he had told Affinity and what Mark had gleaned, the basic truth, glossing over the Matrans and how they managed to move across vast tracts of land. In this version of the story, as with so many others, recalcitrant wags or beasts had left them on foot just before they were discovered. Leaving aside these details, their host seemed to believe Ryan. In fact, the one-eyed man got the distinct impression that the man was looking on them as some kind of answer to a problem.
Your story is an interesting one, friend Ryan. And I call you friend, as you proved you were no enemy in your treatment of Affinity. You obviously have some idea of why we are here, and why there is danger in this locality. But perhaps you do not grasp the full extent. And why should you? This is not your land, and these are not your people. But they are mine by default. I, Lemya, escaped from Atlantis many seasons ago. My wife, Cyan, came with me.
Lemya gestured to the woman who sat beside him.
And we found this place. There has always been a Memphis as long as there has been an Atlantis. For there have always been people who cannot accept the tyranny of Odyssey, no matter who he may be at any given time.
He caught the bemused expressions of the companions and smiled.
I would explain that last statement in due time. Have no worry. I am now the leader of this ville, for no other reason than I have been here the longest, survived, and I am willing to shoulder the responsibility. That is our way. Atlantis, however, has a hereditary leader who always goes by the name of Odyssey and is trained from birth to accept the mantle of responsibility. Perhaps because of this, we shouldn't be too harsh. For if I was in the same position, could I assure you that I would not be the same as the man who now bears the name Odyssey? But I digress. To business. The Ville of Atlantis was founded before the new cast by those who knew it was fast approaching. They had been told this by messengers from the lost lands of Atlantis, which had perished in a similar disaster many thousands of years before. Those who isolated themselves into the present community of Atlantis did so knowing that this was the second coming. Those who survived would have the task of building ships in which the community who thrived after the new cast would be the chosen ones. They would be taken up in these ships by the old ones who journeyed beyond the stars in the days before the first disaster when the original Atlantis perished. Those who have traveled beyond will send their descendants for those who wait. But in the meantime, those who wait have a hell on Earth. Odyssey makes them build bigger and bigger vessels, keeping the people enthralled to his will. There is no freedom, no joy. The old ones are appeased with a series of rituals and sacrifices in the hope that they will come soon. Many of us have lost our lives or the lives of those we loved in such a way. Does it seem possible that those who are our own people wish us to immolate ourselves? I think not. I believe something has gone terribly awry. And to a greater or lesser degree, this is what we all feel, and why we have over the years fled to this alternative place. Those of us who believe are sure that our kindred would not forsake us because we wish to greet them in peace and freedom. In the meantime, their current Odyssey flies even more out of control. There was a time when Memphis was considered beneath Atlantis and left in peace, albeit begrudgingly. But this Odyssey is obsessed. He wants to take us back and punish us. We are unskilled fighters, and we need to learn quickly for our own defense. We also need to try to unseat him. We believe now it is kill or be killed. I am sure that there are many who would join us in Atlantis if they saw a glimmer of hope. We just need to be good enough to give them that. You have proved your mettle by traversing the exclusion zone, beating both our men and Nightcrawlers. Your wish is to go on your way in peace. That is our wish. But I am sure that neither of us will have that wish unless we defeat Odyssey together. I beseech you to join with us. Teach us what you know and ensure your goals as well as our own.
Ryan reflected on what Lemire had said for a moment, then looked around the table at his people.
Whatever we do, we're going to have to stand and fight, lover.
Yeah, we met enough bastards like this Odyssey before. If he's going to make it tough for us to go on our way, then I guess he's just asking for us to make it tough on him. You don't want much, no more than we do on our way. Someone like Odyssey will never understand that. So, fuck him. We'll stand with you. If we're going to have to fight, we might as well fight with friends at our back.
Ryan stood and reached across the table, extending his hand. Lemya rose and took it in a firm grip. The one-eyed man had a growing liking for the stocky leader of Memphis, who seemed a man after his own heart, only wanting to live his own life with no hassle. How could they not back him? Doc watched the two men grasp hands. He felt torn. On the one hand, he had sympathy with Memphis, yet on the other hand, he was fascinated by what he had just heard of Odyssey. What secrets this man held. he would have to bide his time. Later, the companions compared notes.
Dark night. There's something really weird about these folks.
They feed us, they put us up, and they accept us training with them without a word of dissent. Friendly is what I'd call it.
That's just what I mean. When was the last time anyone ever acted like that with us? Without first trying to blow our heads off.
John's got a point, Ryan. It is kind of unusual the way that they've just let us become part of their community without any kind of test.
Ryan pondered this. In the few days since they had arrived, they'd been accepted into the Ville without any reservations from the population. Lemire and Cyan had approved of them, and this seemed to be enough for the rest of the escapees from Atlantis. Recognizing their worth as fighters, Mark had requested that he be allowed to let them train with the young men he was trying to mold into a sec force. Lemire had agreed with a rapidity that suggested he was under no illusions as to how much help his sec men needed. And that was plenty. During their first training session, it had been obvious that the young men picked by the sec chief were fit enough. They could run and lift with the best, yet they were hopeless at tactics and at close-in hand-to-hand fighting, which was exactly the kind of skill they needed to cultivate if they were to stand any kind of chance during an encounter with the Nightcrawlers. For all that, they were well-organized and not short of courage. They were also eager to learn and extremely attentive whenever Ryan, JB, or Jack wanted to show them something that would prevent them giving away their lives cheaply. It was just surprising that a force so tight in every other way should be so inept in combat skills.
They need us. Mark knows it and Lemire knows it. Their people have seen what we can do, and they know it's something they can't. So it makes sense they would want us to teach them.
Yeah, but they're so trusting. It would be so easy for us to take complete advantage of the positions they put us in. Hell, we could be running this Ville in a matter of hours.
Ah, but would we want to, my dear doctor?
Of course not. That would be really stupid, but...
But nothing, Mildred. We have no reason to take advantage, and they know this. Ergo, they can trust us in situations that other Villes would not. They realize that we have no interest in their fight. But that is not true, is it, my friend? Best to keep this to yourself, however. And that we only wish to go on our way once we have righted a wrong. It is a simple equation, and they see things in these very clear, simple terms. As for their being organized and yet lacking in fighting skills, I would have thought that was obvious.
Christie looked at Doc. There was something about him that had been bugging her for a while, ever since they dragged him from the Matrans chamber. He seemed to have accepted their argument and appeared to have resigned himself to not going back to the North. He hadn't mentioned it, and yet that was what was bugging her. Not even a casual mention or slip of the tongue. Unaware of what was running through her mind, Doc paused before answering, aware that the eyes of all were upon him.
Yes, my friends. Listen to me. Learn as I learn. But I am faster. If you stop to consider where they have come from and how they have ended up in this situation, then their apparently contrary attitudes become easily explained.
Yeah, keep easy, Doc. Won't understand for once.
Everyone who is in Memphis, with the exception of our good selves, has escaped from Atlantis, where they were born and raised.
Doc, tell us something we don't know.
I do not have to. The key is in what you know. You have merely failed to apply that knowledge.
Christie frowned. The sharpness in Doc's tone worried her. She looked quickly at the others. Mildred seemed taken aback at the venom in Doc's tone, but the men seemed to treat it as Doc being his usual strange self again and nothing more. But Christie was sure that it was.
Consider the conditions within Atlantis, from what we've been told. It is run as a dictatorship by a ruthless baron who has a very definite set of aims that have been handed down to him for several generations. Along with these have been set practices for the way in which the affairs of the Ville are conducted. To wit, the inhabitants are used as slave labor and are disciplined to work in this manner from the day they are born. Now, you may say that the people of Memphis are those who have rebelled against this system and have made a conscious attempt to escape and find a new way of life. And you would, of course, be correct in this premise. However, consider the fact that when Atlantis was founded, it was with the deliberate aim of isolating it from anything that may be an outside influence.